We will now call to order the October 10, 2017 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I've reviewed the minutes of our August 8, 2017 meeting and have now proceeded to sign them. Do we have any announcements before we start with this morning's proceedings?
Are we working on the Biketoberfest agenda or just...
We'll do the Biketoberfest agenda first if everyone's present.
I believe they should be.
All right, very good. Will all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
All right, the first matter we'll attend to is our Biketoberfest 2017 Master Plan Appeal. This is for the Ocean Club Laundry Mat, 511 Main Street. Is anyone here for the respondent?
Can you state your name, please, sir?
Pinchas Maman, M-A-M-A-N-E.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. I take it the Ocean Club applied to the Bike Week Executive Committee to allow them to have a temporary permit for outside vending during Biketoberfest, and that was denied. All right, how do you want to proceed, Mr. City Attorney?
Sure. That's correct, Mr. Vakelji. That was denied, and no, we hadn't done one of these appeals in a while, but the, he has the right to appeal to the magistrate, and the criteria for magistrate review.
Why does he have a right to appeal to the special magistrate?
It's what's been established in our code as well as in our master plan.
And what's also been established in the code and the master plan is that the outside activities must be the same or similar to the inside activities.
That's
so
correct.
Why is this even here?
Because that's what we've granted as a right of relief, a right to, for you to hear it and consider those.
Is the city conferred upon me the authority or the discretion, if you will, to ignore the master plan?
No, it doesn't.
Well, the reason I ask is because I studied this and I see the discretion that I'm allowed, and typically it involves a respondent who's done something in the past in violation of city codes and ordinances. And most prominent among the topics that I'm to examine are whether or not there are mitigating factors or other circumstances that would warrant me allowing an applicant to proceed nonetheless, notwithstanding a prior history, if you will, of code violations. Yet in looking at the regulations we're talking here, it says very clearly the outside activities must be the same as the indoor activities. And I doubt very seriously, with all due respect to this applicant, he's going to be washing clothes out there on the street.
Well, that's just from a due process as well as the fact that it's part of the provisions that are made available through the master plan. He's been given that right to appeal or bring it before you. Those determinations, as you're correct, I mean, it's a determination of just cause. Then if there's some that he can present to you that would meet you with a belief that he has some right of redress, then that's where it would ultimately reside. But it resides in your determination after hearing or what he believes may be something that would create the just cause that's necessary to allow him to participate. I don't disagree with you at all that there is, it's clear in the code what's required. I don't know what he would be presenting that would make him feel that he would be able to have that just cause, but we're allowing him to come before you based on his request as pursuant to the procedures of the code.
All right, I interrupted you. Go ahead and... wanted to say.
Well, that's the whole thing, Mr. Kelly. It's an action or motion by the applicant. The city does have the culture services, Helen Rigger here, that would present any thing that would be a rebuttal to this applicant, but I don't know what the applicant...
What's your understanding is to the outside activities that the applicant's wanting to engage in?
I would have to look to Ms. Rieger for that. That's where he would have made his application. I believe it's T-shirt sales
And I assume he doesn't sell T-shirts in his laundromat.
That's correct.
During the typical year.
That's my understanding, sir.
And my determination of just cause is whether the applicant is at fault in creating the condition, whether the firm's principals were at fault in creating the condition, the gravity of the violation, there's no violation here, and any prior opportunity that the applicant had to remedy the condition. Very good.
The city's position is that he doesn't meet the criteria to be able to participate.
All right. Well, I'm not going to begrudge anybody an opportunity to have their say, so I'm not here to preempt that. I'm just here questioning. Anyway, very good. All right, let's hear from the applicant.
Hi, I'm operating the laundromat under the Ocean Club T-shirt sales in general.
Ocean Club.
Yeah. And actually, I obtained in the past, I think, 12 years or so, when I'm operating that with no problem whatsoever, all the different fees and license that, you know, the city, for two separate ones, one for the laundromat and one for the Ocean Club sales. All year round.
What is Ocean Club sales?
Ocean Club is selling clothing. We have stores on the strip.
Back up. Ocean Club sales at 511 Main Street?
Yes.
What do you sell at 511 Main Street?
T-shirts.
You sell T-shirts at 511 Main Street?
Yes, sir.
All right, continue.
Okay. So we have a store on the strip also, and that is we're using also the 511 as an outlet to sell during the major events, that a lot of vendors coming out of town. We are locals. We are over 27 years, you know, operating our business. We never had any problem with the laundromat. I obtain all the necessary permits, and every year, you know, we go through this procedure. I never had any issue. The only time this year we had some issue in the planning for Oktoberfest. You know, in the last hurricane in Matthew, we lost the roof over there. So, it took us time to go back together to put a new roof. As you know, roofers, they're pretty hard to get when the hurricane hit. So I was in contact with the code enforcement. I've never been in any violation. I was follow up with them every step of the way, every permit that we obtain, everything. But and I sell T-shirts. You know, we don't sell a lot of T-shirts. I have a guy that's open up every morning the laundromat, and he's there to sell T-shirts for a whole hour. And then when he closes at 6 o'clock, he's coming at 5 and he's selling. There's not too much traffic over there. And we sell like a very discounted T-shirts from past events. That's what we do.
Right. Were you permitted to participate in the last Bike Week event?
Yes. In the past 12 years.
The last 12 years, you've been granted
the
temporary permit you need in order to participate in Biketoberfest and Bike Week.
Yes, sir.
So you're telling me this is the first time you've been denied one?
The first time.
Okay. Step aside. Let's hear from the city.
And the city will call Ms. Rigger. And I don't think for the record I identify myself, Ms. Fickell. So just for the record, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach.
Yes, sir.
And I'm Helen Rigger from the city of Daytona Beach Cultural Services. I did send a letter to Mr. Mira on May 24, 2017, telling him that his participation was denied dependent on selling the outside goods that he sells inside. And code enforcement has been checking on the store. Was closed. There were no T-shirts obviously displayed in the store, and so it was brought to my attention that that was the case, and that's why I sent the letter to deny it.
Has he been granted permission to participate in the past?
I've only been involved with the plan for several years, and in those years, yes, he has been. Because in the past, there were T-shirts displayed in the store. This time, when code enforcement has been observing them, the store wasn't open, and there were no T-shirts in the store.
So the selling of T-shirts is a use historically that the city has been aware of.
Correct.
And the circumstances that warrant denying him this year's participation is what?
Is that
code enforcement people have gone by and see fewer or no T-shirts?
That's correct.
Is it fewer or
it's,
no?
It's no T-shirts.
No T-shirts.
Yes, sir.
And does code enforcement have any idea how long this businessman has been without T-shirts to sell?
I would need to ask code enforcement, but they told me it was at least 90 days. So we denied the permit for him, the application.
Okay, thank you. Let me talk to you some more. Okay. I'm told it's been 90 days since you sold a T-shirt. Quite frankly, I was surprised to find out you sold T-shirts at all.
Yeah.
Now I know why you're here. That's why I always hear everybody out.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, 90 days without T-shirts. Why?
Because I lost the roof. And without the roof, I cannot even fix the interior. We had a big mess. The whole drywall fell in.
And how many years have you been getting this temporary permit now?
For over 12 years.
And your explanation is the intervening hurricanes has disrupted your business, and consequently you're not back up to speed the way you were previously. Is that it?
Absolutely.
I'm granting your appeal.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
What do I need to do to make that happen?
I believe that's all for your role, and Ms. Rigger will take care of anything else that needs to happen.
Very good. All right. Next case, Tudya and Kaival LLC, lien review. Anyone here for the respondent?
Robert Abraham, 568 Pelican Bay Drive, Daytona Beach, attorney for the owner. This is a long-standing lien, laundry list of things that were required to be done. Obviously, from the length of the list and the description of the items, it cost a great deal to make the corrections. All the corrections have been made, in spite of a number of intervening hurricanes and the Great Recession. It's my understanding, and Mr. Patel, who's here, the principal of the owner, can provide details if you'd like, but it's my understanding that in excess of $150,000 has been spent on the corrections. Most recently, about $37,000+ for a new roof and some other items. Currently, we're dealing with hurricane damage, and frankly, we need all the help we can get. The revenues are being reinvested in improvements to the property, and we're simply asking for relief from the lien, lien reduction, and as much as possible to zero if possible. Thank you.
Am I to understand this goes back to 2013? Is that what I'm reading?
Yes, sir.
Has there been any communication between the respondent and the city in an effort to resolve this?
Specifically this lien, there may have been, at this moment, let me check with the inspector. Nothing that I'm specifically aware of.
Good morning, Mr. McElger. Cliff Reagan's own inspector. This is a case that was in 2013 by Inspector Lopez. My case that I had last year on this property brought everything in on this property into compliance. This was...
Okay.
So I've been in constant contact with the property owner since I've opened the case over 2 years ago.
Okay. This lien goes back to 2013?
Yes, Mr. Kelch, you may recall back in that time period, there were, as you see, this long list of violations. There was a, at that time, Mr. Patel was represented, the respondent was represented by Mr. Latinsky. I met out on the property with Ms. Litinsky, Mr. Patel, the then supervisor of code or the services, Hector Garcia, went out there, and we had another inspector whose name I'm not.
Eddie Lopez.
And so the three of we were all out there together. We went through, we walked through the property, we identified the violations, and this was a time when there were complaints of damage, ceiling damage, where a ceiling had fallen in it, where a tenant was in one of the rooms, and there was a lot of other police complaints that resulted in various types of actions and activities or concerns regarding the property. Mm-hmm. The lien was imposed after Mr. Patel was unable to bring the property into compliance. I think at that time he was making some efforts to maybe sell the property. He also was making efforts to obtain loans that I'm not sure he was able to get. And as you see, it went for a lengthy period of time before it came into compliance, actually a few years, or, at least a couple of years, until Mr. Reckonzone got involved with the newer case and then made determinations regarding roof and other things that had, were done, and ultimately the property became in full compliance. Their request is for reduction, and we... There's great appreciation. While I'll be quite honest, at least the mindset, the last that I heard, or at the time when these things were being brought into compliance, and even when it came before you, was that things were done, but they weren't done. They were being done at the minimal standard. I'm not speaking to how they are today. I haven't had that report, but at the time when they were acknowledging the compliance, that was the report. The city's position is that, yes, we're willing to grant relief. We think that fair and reasonable relief would be to reduce this to 50%. We know he did finally did get on track in the sense of making efforts to improve the property. How much improvement, you have to speak to him. We know it's improved at least to the level of being in compliance and being in compliance for now for a period of time. And if they're doing more work, then we can see that reduction being reasonable in that regard. I believe also...
Did you want to be heard?
Yes. Okay. One of the commissioners here who would like to be heard on regarding the property as well, Commissioner Traeger, and I'd like to make her available to you for anything you consider.
Sure. Ruth 610 Bostwick Avenue, Daytona Beach.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I have known Mr. Patel and his family for about 10 years, and they're a hard-working small business family, very hard-working. And as we all know, 2008 came the downturn, and then came the recession, which was the worst since the Great Depression of the 1920s. People weren't working. They were not taking vacations. His business fell off, just like a lot of people around here. People who had jobs were not taking vacations. And anyhow, maintenance had to be deferred a little bit. There was no money, and the banks were not lending any money. And there were many things to fix. When the business was getting better, he starting to fix little by little as he got money. He wanted compliance, and I think that's what the city wants also, is compliance. Unfortunately, the money didn't come in as fast as he probably would have liked, and it took a little bit longer to come into compliance. $25,000 is a large amount for a small business owner. And this would take from the money he's got to continue upgrading and fixing and everything. And in the meantime, as you know, we had the two hurricanes. We had Matthew and we had Irma, which I think everybody is still trying to fix from Irma. And I believe since he's got into compliance and he's really trying to fix everything up, this to impose this lien at all would just get him further behind again, and I think he should be granted a, I don't know what the word is, but I think he has tried hard. I think he is trying hard. And the fact that compliance is what we want and compliance is what we're getting, although albeit a little bit slowly, should be take care of the matter. Thank you.
All right, what is the city proposing in the way of a relief, if anything?
The city is proposing reducing the lien by 50%, so cutting it in half, so $12,500.
Let me ask a few academic questions here. This lien was imposed in what, 2013?
Yes, sir.
And this was a commercial property?
Or approximately. I don't know the exact date,
but
yes.
This was a commercial property?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we don't worry about homestead rights here.
That's correct.
Why didn't the city foreclose on that lien back in 2013? Why are we dealing with it now in 2017?
Probably more than anything, the a little change in direction with the city that back then we weren't really as much in pursuit through foreclosure, and maybe part of
the city wasn't interested in fulfilling its end to the enforcement side of what we do here. It wasn't foreclosing on legitimate liens that were sitting out there in a timely manner. Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't agree with that statement, sir. In all due respect, the city had different approaches at that time on how they were trying to resolve various circumstances. Obtaining properties during a time of the economic downfall would have made the city a property possessor without. A true remedy. The goal and the remedy, I believe, and I can't really speak for the city, but what I believe is the goal and the remedy then was to bring properties into compliance with what all means and belief that
how
they were coming into
compliance. How long did it take for this property to come into compliance?
Well, we know that
4 years post lien.
That's when we ultimately resolved this. Well, I think it was three, but ultimately resolved the aspects of the lien in the way we actually utilized numerous other enforcement mechanisms.
I'm not here to make a political statement, but I hear all this clamoring about code enforcement doesn't do enough to try to keep blight from overtaking our community. Okay. My point is, from what I see, from my perspective, the inspectors are doing everything they can, if not more. And
I strongly agree.
The one thing that rankles me when I hear the criticism that code enforcement doesn't do enough is the thought or suggestion that that somehow filters down to a bunch of lazy, useless inspectors who are just sitting there goofing off all day long, because that couldn't be further from the truth. The breakdown in our enforcement system doesn't start at the lowest level here. It starts much higher above. I don't know why I bother mentioning that, but I guess it's pertinent because I'm dealing with a case here now where I'm asked to give relief to a lien that's over 4 years old now. And all the threats of fines and what have you pre-2013 didn't do anything to motivate this respondent to do what he needed to do.
Agree, and I think we utilize other tools as well.
And now here we are 4 years after the lien looking for relief.
Understood. I just, in all fairness, want to make sure I mention as well that we did utilize other tools that were available to the city in the sense of nuisance abatement and other things. But at this point, this is where we are.
I'm also a pragmatic person. Mr. Abraham, the city is suggesting that this lien be, what, cut in half?
Yes, sir.
That's $12,500.
Yes, sir.
All right. What, if anything, do you have to say to that proposal?
Well, any money that's paid for the lien is less money that's available for improvements to the property.
You know, I don't mean to sound heartless, but that's falling on deaf ears. If a man can't afford to take care of the property, put it up for sale, sell it to somebody who can. Don't just sit there and use the city to finance your renovations or improvements when and if the respondent is able to get around to it. So I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate that. And we're always appreciative of people improving properties. But there still reaches a point in time in which it sort of gets counterproductive. All that aside, we can debate that another time. The city's proposing a $12,500 reduction lien. I'm going to presume that means the city feels that would be a reasonable reduction, taking into all the taking into consideration all the circumstances that you've related to me. What say you to that?
Well, it's being assumed that it took 4 years for the corrections to be made. That is not correct. Okay. Taken 4 years to get to the point of asking for the relief. At the time, it was a choice between paying fines or using that money to do what the city required to improve the property. Sometime between 2013 and 2017, the corrections were completed. During that period of time, corrections were being made. It's such a long list that it could not be done all at once. It obviously takes time to do all of this, to get people to work on it, to get the work done, and it just has not come back before you until now. It doesn't mean it took 4 years to get this done. We believe that we appreciate the offer of 50%. That's what it has to be. But any further relief beyond that would certainly be helpful and would certainly advance the owner's efforts to further improve the property.
Thank you.
All right, well, notwithstanding my remonstrations regarding code enforcement in the city of Daytona Beach, the fact of the matter is we do appreciate efforts made by landowners to come into compliance, and we really appreciate efforts to do more than just the absolute minimum to try to actually enhance properties. That having been said, I'll go ahead and reduce the fine to the sum of $10,000 to be paid within 30 days. If it's not paid within 30 days, then the fine, as it stands right now, will stay in place. If you need additional time for that purpose, if you'll contact the city attorney, I'm sure he'll cooperate and assist you in that regard. Good luck to you. And thank you. All right, case number one, Craig Carter.
That's in compliance, 10-3-2017.
Case two, Firma Family Land Trust. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Jerome McCoy. This is a circumstance where what's remaining is that they need the business tax receipt or the residential rental license. Their inspection, inspection was just completed. There are some things that need to be remedied. So we're asking that we amend to the next cutoff so that they can get themselves to the point of compliance.
Next cutoff being November 8, 2017. Does that look about right?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have... Well, hang on 1 second. All right. Based on the presentation by the city attorney, I will amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until November 8, 2017 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number three, Anthony M. Taco.
state your name, please.
Anthony Toso.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. What say the city?
Mr. Kelch, I've been advised that the city's been in communication with this respondent. He's been delayed because of the hurricane situation. The city's requesting that we amend to the next cutoff on this case.
What say Mr. Taco to that?
One was with the car. I bought a battery for it on the, because I thought the problem was. Turned out not to be. It's going to be the fuel filter. I had money at the time to turn it into Woody's service station, but this was pre-hurricane, and I believe enforcement also asked him to remove all the junk cars, and he had a week's worth of cars to do and had no time for mine for that car. Then after the hurricane, I incurred some more damage in that particular part where the window is. I have now called the Western Insurance, and I have a person coming out on the 16th between 10 and 2 to, because I also had more damage on the house, and I was going to explain about the window, and by that time I should have the money to fix everything and be done with it. I also try to get a maybe a small loan or something, but I found out I was deceased by two out of the three credit bureaus, which I have a record here. Also,
condolences.
Also, I'm still in the Chapter 13. I'm making the payments. I owe $2,250 by November 2nd, so I got mediation. I had a check. I paid him $1,050. I told him I'd give him the next $1,200 by the 20th of this month. I've made money. I invoiced for $1,750, but I got waiting at $30. So I have the money, but it's not here yet. My problem is money. No cash on hand. No credit. I got to fix my credit with the, I'm deceased. I have a lot of it's a money issue, sir. I respect the code ordinance. I like to have a new lawn and everything, but it's I can't do it. It's just been rough. So I'm hoping after the insurance check comes and I talk to the insurance adjuster about what to get fixed, I can get everything fixed for you. That's what I'd like.
I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by November 8, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Good luck to you.
Thank you again, sir.
All right. Case number 4, Carolyn Riccani.
Please.
Carolyn Kenny.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I will.
Thank you.
All right. This matter is here for the imposition of a fine. What say the city?
I'm asking that we amend this because it's in foreclosure, but I'm not quite sure what that means. And I don't know, perhaps.
Amend or continue?
Continue. But I think that our concern is the status of where it is in the foreclosure process. But I have to look through on Ms. Hampton. I'm kind of being updated.
The list pendants was filed May 25th, 2017. So just checking to see. I don't think it's set for sale yet.
Okay. Then, in any sense, the desire of the city is to continue this to the next meeting as we make a determination where we're going. This is an imposition of a fine. Make a determination what's happening next with the property.
All right. What say Ms. Riccani?
The house is a mess. And it's been, again, hurricane, no money.
I do finally have some help, and I was working slowly on it. The lawn has been cut. It's going to be cut again today, probably today. The windows were covered. I stupidly took in a roommate that took all the covering off because he needed a breeze because the air conditioning wasn't working. If you can see that tarp hanging, the roof, the Florida room roof was tarped, but with Irma, it was tore down. And the house is in short sale right now. Hopefully, I am praying every day. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's not. It's well, it was a foreclosure, and we were able to obtain a short sale, and we have a buyer. And I'm just waiting. And I can give you the realtor's name if you'd like. And
very good. All right. I guess what do you want to do? Continue this to the next meeting?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hopefully, it'll be sold by then.
Okay. As per the city's request, we will continue this matter to the November 14, 2017 meeting. Very good. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Case number 5, GEA Seaside Investments, 318 Butler Boulevard, is in compliance. Case number 6, GEA 508 Eastwood Lane, is in compliance. Case number 7, GEA 121 South Grandview Avenue, is in compliance. Number 8, GEA 2711 North Halifax Unit 796, is in compliance. Number 9, GEA 229 North Hollywood Avenue, is in compliance. Number 10, GEA 433 North Peninsula Drive, is in compliance. Number 11, GEA 21 South Peninsula Drive, is in compliance. Number 12, GEA 23 and 25 South Peninsula, is in compliance. Number 13, GEA 514 Phoenix Avenue, is in compliance. And number 14, GEA 615 Wisteria Road, is in compliance. I presume all that is still the case?
Yes, sir.
Very good. All right, that would then bring us up to case number 15, GEA 316 Boulevard. Is anyone here for the respondent?
Attorney Joel Osborne, 160 International Parkway, Suite 250, Heathrow, Florida, 32746. Here for GEA Seaside, doing business as Daytona Property Management.
All right. The action to be taken: impose fine if no inspections and if advertisements were not removed within 5 days. Determination of a compliance date. All right. First off, can someone just summarize for me? I know we had broken a bunch of GEA cases down into different categories. Do 5 through 14 represent one of those categories?
I believe it does. That would be the remaining categories. One of the things I just want to point out, and it's probably obvious to you, that Ms. Davis is not here today. She's currently on a leave. But my knowledge, and as I speak with Mr. Osborne, I know they've been in communication and they've been working on everything. Our intent is to request continuance on these remainders, but this whole set, I believe it's the second set of cases with remaining needs for inspection. If that's, and I look, Ms. Osborne.
Okay.
Your Honor, yes, we were working with Ms. Davis. For our knowledge, Ms. Davis was put on administrative leave. We were supposed to do a set of re-inspections, but she has not been available to us. Speaking with the city is asking for us to continue, and we have no problem. We would just, need someone to be available for us to do the inspections. The re-inspections are very, very basic, consistent of maybe 5 to 10 minute walkthroughs of the place. It won't take long. We just need someone from the city available because the lady that we have been dealing with is no longer.
Okay. Well, I'm not quite understanding what all that means. Mr. City Attorney, you're looking for a continuance for case number 16?
Yes, Your Honor. Actually, I'm looking for, and I said they were all the same, and I noticed that they're not exactly all the same. 16 through 21 are the same circumstance in terms of as we've grouped them. And, yes, I'm asking for a continuance for, I see Ms. Hampton shaking her head.
15.
Oh, I said 16. I'm sorry. I said 16. I meant 15.
15 through 17. 15, 16, and 17. And then 18.
Through 21.
Through 21. Okay. Were for applications for permits. And then 22 through 27.
So there were
hang on a second. 18 through 21. And then what did you say after 18 through 21?
22 through 27 all have the same order.
Okay. Well, let's back up and kind of review the bidding here. What does it mean when it says compliance in cases 5 through 14?
I'm sorry.
Cases 5 through 14, when it says compliance, just for my benefit, what does that mean? I'm trying to keep my eye on the total picture here, so I want to know where we are in context.
Well, the requirement was their non-compliance was their failure to obtain a residence rental license.
Okay.
So their compliance is that they now have obtained the residence rental license for those properties.
So as far as properties 15 through 14, five through 14, does that mean we're done with them?
Yes, sir. As to this,
and I'm not trying to pigeonhole you here. I mean, I'm just asking clumsy questions, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
So the compliance I'm looking at is no interim or temporary compliance. It's full compliance with whatever it was they were cited for.
That's correct. These cases will be removed from
the cases 5 through 14 have been resolved, and the respondent has done whatever it is the city's asked them to do.
That's correct.
Okay. And a final inspection was conducted by the city to verify that compliance was, in fact, accomplished, and that was done as well.
That's correct. And it only appears here because it was done pursuant to an affidavit.
All right. Now, let's move on to what we have before us today. 15 through 17. Are you looking for a continuance of those three cases?
Yes, sir.
And what's the basis for the continuance?
Actually, even though these are group separate, and I know you want to talk about them by the group.
I'll talk about them any way you want me to.
The circumstance.
And if anything's going to save time and get these people out of here, I'm all for it.
Yes, sir. The circumstance regarding all of the remaining cases is that they need inspections. They need re-inspections.
15 through 27 you're talking about?
Yes.
They need re-inspections.
Yes.
All right, what's the problem with the re-inspections?
That's for where an inspector will come out and confirm that they've complied with the things that the inspector from the initial inspection.
Okay, and why hasn't that been done already?
The manner in which it was set up administratively was with one particular inspector, and that inspector has not been available. And so,
so I just want to be clear, and I'm not trying to point fingers or be difficult. I just want everyone to know what's afoot here. So, as I understand it, the city has a specific inspector that it's assigned to these cases.
Yes, that's
and that inspector has been unavailable.
That's correct.
And that's the basis for the continuance that the city is requesting.
That's correct, sir.
And I assume the respondent has no objection.
We have no objection. The city has been completely amicable and agreeable. We just need, if Ms. Davis is on leave, we just need another inspector that can come do the reinspections. The reinspections will not take long, and as soon as we get them, we can start advertising. So this is something we do, we would like expedited, and we would request.
All right, and how long of a continuance are we looking for?
Just to the next meeting? Okay, I'm being told that someone will be or has been reassigned, and we'll get these taken care of.
So the city has located an alternate inspector. That inspector will be able to conduct whatever inspections are required for cases 15 through 27, and you're looking for the matters as they stand for each of those cases and whatever determinations are called for them to be continued to the November 14, 2017 meeting.
Yes, sir.
Now and November 14 of 2017, based on the inspections, any number of these matters may be coming into compliance, which will conclude them too, or are we not that close on these cases?
Yes, we are. Yeah, that will be the circumstance.
All right, so we're well past all our interim orders. Well, I'm sorry. Don't worry about that. All right.
So, Your Honor, I just want to be clear. So we will have until the next cutoff to get with the city. The city's going to contact us, I'm assuming, and we'll have until the next cutoff to do the reinspections.
Well, okay, I'm not trying to force a commitment from you. You're awaiting an inspection, so presumably you think you've already done everything you need to do.
Yeah, we're awaiting reinspection. We've already had an initial inspection. We've already done everything we need to do. All we need is the city to
come. The only pertinence for the next cutoff, then, would be if an inspector determines that you're not in compliance, then you still have that much time left to come into compliance.
And that's what we would ask is, you know, by the next cutoff that we are required to do the reinspections, not necessarily if there's anything that they, you know, that they come and do the reinspections, say, hey, you need to pull a permit, and which will take 30 days, that we don't have to come into compliance. We just have to do the reinspections by the next cutoff is what I am requesting, Your Honor.
Well, you're making me nervous. I don't know what's left to be done here. And so I don't want to start announcing from above what has to be done. I'm not quite clear. What's your concern?
My concern is that that by the next cutoff, that what we are requested to do is to just complete the reinspections.
Is that all that's called for?
No, we're looking for compliance. I think his concern, if I can restate it, based on what
he's presuming, he's going to pass.
Right.
Right,
and so I think the only concern.
And all I'm telling you is, if you don't, you still have to your cutoff to come into compliance. You know, should there some glitch arise?
I think the fear is whether he'd be in a position of imposition of a fine when he comes back here. And I think what we're asking.
I think what he's anxious to know about is how quick he's suggesting these properties are ready to be inspected now.
Yeah,
and he's anxious to start advertising these properties. And so I guess it's causes him a little bit concern that the city's inspector is unavailable. I'm not criticizing anybody. It is what it is. And the city inspector being unavailable, I guess, is holding him up. And he just, what I'm getting the sense of is he wants to make sure these reinspections are going to take place in time for him to still be able to come into compliance if need be.
And I guess, Ms. McKelvey, where we can satisfy that concern is by just continuing so that we stay in the same position
right.
we're in.
That's and what I'm trying to explain to him.
Right.
And, all right. And I'm probably doing a bad job.
I apologize about that. That makes complete understanding. That makes sense.
I'm going to go ahead and continue the determination of these matters, cases 15 through 27, to our November 14, 2017 meeting. And with that, that will, by necessity, extend the cutoff date to November 8, 2017. Now, are we all on the same page?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. Good luck to you. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on one second. Is there anyone here that wanted to be heard on this matter? Okay. Not seeing anyone who wants to be heard. Gentlemen, good luck to you. New cases. Seneca Land Trust, care of Osprey Foundation, trustee. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Vicaldi, this is before you for imposition of for determination of a compliance. No, I'm looking at the wrong one. Give me a second.
Case number 28.
This is before you for the determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Danny Garcia, and Mr. Garcia has reported that the property remains in noncompliance, and he's asking for next cutoff for the property to come into compliance.
Okay. Based on the city attorney's presentation, noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by November 8, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for a consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 29, James S. and Patricia A. Felty.
Ray Joy. 809 Hensel Hill West, Port Orange, Florida.
Ray Joy?
Yes, Ray Joy, J-O-Y.
You raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Joy, what's your affiliation with this property?
I am the realtor. This property, if I could explain, it's for sale. There's a short sale on it. I have a contract. It closes Thursday. I can go back farther and explain why the property's in the condition it is if you'd like me to.
Nope. Just want to know how quickly it's going to be fixed.
Can I have 60 days?
I will. For a dirty pool? Not even close.
Okay, 30. Well, it's the new owners.
I don't care who it is.
Okay.
I don't care if it's you.
How long do you want to give me?
Well, I would say whatever amount of time it would take for a kid to hop a fence and get lost in that pool, but that might be unreasonable. What say the city?
Ms. Vakaj, we clearly understand your concern and urgency. We recognize in this situation that as far as legally secure, the pool is secure. The city is asking for finding a non-compliance the next cutoff. We realize that he intends on a sale, and if the sale's complete, that we'd have to allow them the additional time to comply.
Okay, so we absolutely know this property's secured before we give them to November 8th to fix this pool.
Mr. Garcia's the inspector.
Daniel Garcia, code enforcement inspector, credentials on file. I've been on the property a few times. Every time I've seen it, it always has been secured with the fence completely around. I've spoken to the neighbors. The neighbors actually stated that she's just worried about the cleanliness and hasn't seen anybody on the property. This is the first time recently, just speaking yesterday to the realtor, advising me that they do have a buyer, and I was putting down, stating that by next cutoff, it'd be in compliance.
Okay, how long is it going to take to clean this pool? I don't know anything about pools.
It's going to have to be drained. It may even need to be resurfaced. But to get it so that the neighbors are happy.
I don't care about the neighbors. I care about me. It's a dirty pool, and we take those things very seriously around here.
I understand. I'm just... Because of the new owners, 2 weeks. And I'm not going to abandon this transaction just because I sell the house. I represent both sides, and I'll coordinate.
What's today's date? The 11th?
The 10th.
10th. Okay. All right. Have I already found the respondent in noncompliance?
No, sir.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. I'll go along with the November 8th date. Based upon the city's assurance that the property is secured, your assurance that the property is secured, and your assurance on behalf of your client, to the extent you have any authority to bind your client, that this pool is going to be the first matter of business when they get in there.
Yes, sir. We make sure that there's a lock on the gate for the doorway part.
I'm going to also further require that this property be secured so that this pool is inaccessible. And should we discover between now and November 8th, 2017, that that's not the case, then the respondent will be returned here for consideration of a fine. So I'm ordering that this property be secured and that be brought into compliance by November 8, 2017. Okay? Don't mean to be harsh, but we take those things very seriously.
And the owner's attorney was here. He took a bad fall coming out of his office, and he just couldn't wait any longer.
That's all right. All right.
Apologize.
Not a problem. Good luck to you.
Okay, thanks. Yes, sir.
Case number 30, Michael P. Hanley is in compliance. Case number 31, Terry Teheram Sitaram and BBN Sitaram. Anyone here for the respondent? Hello. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
BBN and Sitaram.
You raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Thank
you. Yes, ma'am. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right. I find the respondent noncompliance. All right. If we could have 1 second, let's ask the city how long the city thinks it ought to take for you to be able to come into compliance.
Ms. McKelvey, this is before you for a determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson. He reports that the property remains in noncompliance, and he asked that they be given until next cutoff to come into compliance. And that's all.
Okay. Ms. Sidran?
Yes.
City's suggesting you ought to be able to have this in compliance by November 8th. What say you to that?
The situation is, sir, is that me and my husband is going through a divorce. And he had moved out from the house.
And he what now?
He moved out from the house, a primary home.
Okay.
And what happened is that he has gained control of the property. Every time I make attempt to go on the property, he has told it, you know, there was someone living in the front of the, it's like a duplex. And he told the tenants that to call the police on me. So I have an attorney, and I was advised by the attorney, you know, to protect myself, not to go on the property, even though I own it. However, I still do go on it, and I have asked the violation with the car and the junk that was in front of the building. I've asked the people that's there to remove it. However, they're being very stubborn not to remove it, and I've told them many times I will go ahead and call a tow truck and tow the cars. They promised me that they will take it off and they will get everything done. I haven't gone back there because I'm busy working and I have two children and to take care of, and my husband hasn't been helping me at all. So I'm asking if there's any way you can give me an extensive time to get it done. And I will try to talk to my husband to see, you know, what we can get done, because it's a bad situation we're in. The divorce is very bad. It's 22 years of marriage, and he decided he wanted to walk out. So he was the one that used to manage the whole property and take care of everything. And when he walked out, he left me with nothing. And I've struggled, and I had an accident. I hurt myself. I do nursing. I hurt my back, and I was off for 4 months. I was on disability, and I had accidental life insurance, and that's what carried on me for the 4 months. He hasn't supported me and my children. So I'm in a very bad situation, and I know I own this property also, but because he has gained control and he has been doing everything all these years, all I did was work. Work, work, work. So I'm asking you today, because I know I am the owner, and I will try my best to get everything done. If there's any way possible, you can grant me the most extensive time you can to get it resolved. I will greatly appreciate that.
Okay, well, the answer to that is no. That's the bad news. But here's the good news.
Yeah.
You at least showed up to tell us what was going on. As opposed to your husband,
he's also here, sir.
Okay.
But I'm the one that came up to talk because I wanted to explain the situation to you, what's going on.
All right. Well, we've got minutes. We'll recall this conversation. The property, I'm finding the respondent noncompliance. I'm ordering the respondent to come into compliance by November 8, 2017.
Okay.
And we will keep in mind as we go forward which of you was or was not cooperating with the city, and which of you was or was not making an effort to bring this property into compliance. And we will be mindful of that going forward.
Okay, sir.
All right.
I appreciate that.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Case number 32, William R. Terry is in compliance. Case number 33, Gershom P. Brown, Lizzie S. Brown, Robert E. Owens, and Takesha R. Plain.
Good morning.
Say your name, please.
My name is Lizzie Brown.
Live
at 906 Derbyshire Road.
Can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how long should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
commit, you have to move. Ms. Vakelja, if she can have till next cut off to come into compliance. There's a number of cars, a citizen complaint. I think she believes she's in compliance. It needs an reinspection by the inspector, but don't know if they are. We had a problem with asphalt that appears to have appeared, but there's some disagreement on whether it was already there or not, and permits are needed. So we believe all that can be taken care of by next cutoff.
Very good. What say the respondent? City attorney seems to think you guys ought to be able to figure this out, and you ought to be able to come into compliance by November 8th. What say you to that?
Okay. The vehicles that you see is not there anymore. They've been removed. Only that Chevy pickup truck and the Suzuki right there, those two are the only ones there. And I don't know, it's grass there, but it was a little paving or whatever set there. That's where I put my car, by the way. I was disabled because I'd be hanging out in the road. My property just cut off at a certain set where the gate at right there. So if I go behind the truck with the Suzuki, it will be hanging out into Derbyshire, and that's the city property also.
Sounds like you got a lot of cars to figure your way around.
No, they have been removed.
Okay.
There's a Suzuki in the truck there now.
All right.
The other ones had...
Well, it sounds like between now and November 8th, you ought to be able to figure out whatever needs to be figured out.
Oh, okay.
I'll allow the respondent until November 8, 2017 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
Case number 34 is in compliance. Case number 35, Land Trust 552, Fairmount, care of Trustee LLC as trustee. Anyone here for the respondent?
Oh, thought I missed it for a minute. My name is Daisy, and I'm representing Aaron Mitchell.
And who's Aaron Mitchell?
He is the owner of
Land Trust 552
yes.
Fairmont?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And, all right.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Is the city satisfied with this lady's representation?
I haven't heard these histories representing, but I don't know what capacity, what's her relationship to the property or to the individual.
Okay, I'm the sister-in-law of Aaron Mitchell.
Okay, what does the city want to do?
This property is for compliance or non-compliance. Inspector John Stinson, he reports that the property remains in non-compliance, and he's asking that they come into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay. I'm sorry, your name again?
Daisy Cazares.
Daisy?
Cazares.
Yeah. Ms. Cazares, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I agree.
Okay. All right. I find the respondent in noncompliance. The city has suggested that these matters ought to be cleared up or resolved by November 8, 2017. Do you have an opinion you want to express on whether or not that's reasonable or feasible?
Well, I just wanted to state what was going on, the current situation. As far as I'm aware, this property was attained. It was an owner finance situation. My brother-in-law and my sister actually live out of state. This person, I guess, hasn't made any payments to them in over a year. So they're in the foreclosure process. Aaron Mitchell doesn't have access to the house, per se, to actually fix these things at the moment. So what he would like to do is, I'm not sure if it's even possible, but wait until the foreclosure process, I guess, is granted in his favor, and he can actually make these changes to the property. So where he stands right now, it's not technically his property. He owns it, but I don't even know how the trust works. But like I said, it's not technically his property. This guy's supposed to be paying for it. He hasn't, so he's foreclosed. I have a letter from the lawyer that they retained, and he's working in the process.
Let me see it.
Okay, this is a different property?
Yeah, I found the wrong one.
That's all right, but there's another one for 5 John Fairmount?
Yes, I have to come here to collect it.
Okay. All right, if you would just show that to the city attorney so he'll at least know what's going on with the property. That letter is directed to another property, but I'm told she has a similar one for this one. All right, so as I understand it, you have some, there is an owner there.
Thank you.
Well, how is it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, if this respondent's been cited, that means this respondent still holds the deed, I would presume.
At least that's what's appearing in the public record.
It sounds like, I guess she's describing some kind of an agreement for deed or something like that.
Right. And with an agreement for deed, I don't know if it would have been recorded at this point.
Probably wouldn't.
Right.
I wouldn't think it would.
It's more contractual at this stage.
Who is the person who's occupying the property?
Honestly, I wouldn't know who it is. I just know my sister. I've been talking to her, and of course they're out of state, and I'm the closest person that can make it here. I actually live in Lakeland. But I do know that, you know, if you want this fixed and they fix it, then the guy, he's going to be collecting, I guess, unofficial rent because he doesn't even have a renter's permit. So if they do go ahead and make the changes and everything that needs to be done, then this guy is going to be profiting off of them as far as I know. I'm not sure his name. I couldn't tell you his name. I just know the circumstances in which they're in right now.
Well, the circumstances they're in right now are they're still the owner of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And they're primarily responsible for it.
Okay.
And the city is not privy to, nor should they be, privy to whatever agreements he has with whoever it is he wants to agree with when it comes to this property.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, the city looks to the property owner to bring the property into compliance.
Okay.
And so that having been said, that means is it your brother and sister-in-law?
Brother-in-law and my sister.
Sister and brother-in-law need to take care of business here.
Okay.
And if that means getting this, well, they got to do whatever it is they got to do.
Right.
We're not here to tell you what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this property has to be brought into compliance.
Okay.
I guess you're going to tell me everything that's on this list of violations was done by whoever it is that's occupying the property at present.
Correct.
You don't know who's occupying the property.
I do not know.
Okay. All right. And the city is proposing this being in compliance by November 8th?
Yes, Mr. Vicalico. What they're discussing back there is trying to. They have had. We've had. The inspectors had contact with the tenant. And I don't know who Carlos is, if that's related to the tenant or related to. I guess it must not be her brother-in-law. She would recognize the name. But apparently there's a Carlos who's doing a lot of work in there without permits, and it's a concern of the city as well. And so wanted to include whatever order that no further work be done on the property, but I don't know if they even have knowledge of what's being done. The desire of the city is for it to be next cut off, however, indeed, there, which appears there's a foreclosure issue.
That's their problem. The city's entitled to.
Okay, well, let's look to the next cutoff, and we'll see what the status is at that time if it should change.
All right, I'm going to order the if I found them in noncompliance
yet?
Yes. I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by November 8, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Let me tell you what you need to convey to your sister and your brother-in-law.
They are the owners. They are the only ones we have a relationship with. If we even attempted to interfere with your tenant, we would be liable for interference with contract. So, the relationship is between the city of Daytona Beach and the owner. And the fact that the owner has leased the property out, entered into an agreement for deed, sold it in some fashion but didn't record a deed, whatever it may be, the owner is still responsible. Now, and in situations like this, the reason I'm boring you here, in situations like this, you need to explain to your sister and brother-in-law that if they're being held up in bringing this property into compliance, because whether it be a tenant or a mortgage holder or a wannabe buyer, whatever it may be, they need to demonstrate to us, or me, that they did everything they could to get this person to correct this, or if they aren't correcting it, they did everything they could to remove them. Okay? Because that will be the only excuse we will take into consideration, because it's the owner that we look to to get this done. So, by all means, please pass that on to them. It may sound harsh to say November 8th when you tell me they're not even in possession.
Okay.
You know, but we can't interfere with their relationship with whoever it is that's in there. They need to do everything they can to get it into compliance. Failing that, they need to show us that they did everything they could to remove whatever obstacles to compliance there were.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Case number 36, JED Investment Properties Incorporated.
That's compliance, October 9th, 2017.
Case number 37, Kinsey and Debbie Whaley, 152 Madison Avenue.
Hello there.
How are you doing today?
I'm in here.
Yes, you are. Please state your name and be sworn.
Kinsey Whaley.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
Just ask.
Hang on one second.
Ms. McKelvey, this is, again, a property that's being inspected by John Stinson. It's the property's in, Mr. Stinson reports that the property is in noncompliance. He's asking for next cutoff for the property to come to compliance. This came as a tenant complaint matter, and his number one concern was that a contractor was involved, and I see that we appear to have one that appears to be involved.
Okay, I don't understand that last part. Of
this is a rental property, and he was concerned that there was no contractor at the time, and he wanted an immediate dump to get a contractor on board to get these numerous repairs done. I expressed that there's numerous things that need to be remedied. So, in any sense, he's asking next cut off for the property to come into compliance.
There's been an application for a permit.
Hang on a second. I mean, to read this description, does he need to rebuild the whole house? And I'm only asking when you sit there and say he's got till November 8th to do it. I don't think there's an aspect of the house that's not covered here. Stairways, decks, porches, balconies, windows, exterior doors, interior surfaces, stairs, walking surfaces, water closet, efficiency unit requirements, plumbing fixtures, mechanical appliances, electrical installation, disrepair, smoke detectors. Okay.
Yeah. Now, Mr. McCouch, I'm not...
I'm just trying to understand how reasonable the request till November 8th is.
And I understand. And unfortunately, those are the notes I have from the inspector, and he's not available.
Right. Okay. All right. What say Mr. Whaley?
We did apply for a permit when we turned the stuff in. We waited our week, went back to try and pick up
the... You say we applied. Who's we?
The contractor.
You have a contractor.
I have a contractor.
Who's the contractor?
Dan Galasso.
Daniel Lasso?
Dan Galasso.
Dan Galasso, okay.
He's one of the builders that I deal with my other business as well. But we applied for the permit, and he provided them a staircase. case elevation showing what we were going to do. It was done by an engineer. We went back to pick up the permit the following week when they said it was going to be ready. Then they told them, well, we need more information. They wanted us to do hand railings as well. The hand railings were sufficient as far as we knew, except for adding another cross rail to get them within the 3.5-inch requirement. So we're in the process of having the engineer. It's supposed to be ready Thursday or Friday. We're supposed to have that. They also told us then after we went back that they also wanted elevations of the property to show which windows we're replacing. And they didn't tell us that up front. But we're trying to get the permit resolved because we've got a stop work order. We can't do anything until we get this permit handled. And we're in the process of trying to get that taken care of with the city. But
so as it stands right now, you've got what, a permit application pending? Or
correct.
They're awaiting additional information from you?
They are now waiting for, because we had to go back to the engineer and have them do some more drawings. And we're supposed to have picked them up. He said Thursday or Friday we should have that to be able to take down to the city and the request for the permit.
Assuming once you get a permit, how long do you think it'll take to come into compliance?
With everything that they've got on there, it's probably going to take me about 60 to 90 days.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty long list. That's why I'm asking.
At least. I've got half the windows already purchased. We were doing it in two stages. I was going to do the other half
of the
window.
Here's what we're going to do. Have I found the respondent noncompliance?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to continue the determination of a compliance date to our November 14, 2017 meeting. 14. In other words, I need you back here at the November 14th meeting. Hopefully, at that point in time, you will have permits in hand, and you will be able to eyeball for me some reasonable completion date.
Okay.
All right? Sure. Now, that is predicated on you having these permits in hand. If you don't have the permits in hand, you better have a stack of emails to somebody saying, I'm waiting on my permit. What's the problem?
Okay.
So from between now and the next meeting, I want the permits thing resolved, hopefully. Or if it's not resolved, you explain to me how it's not your fault. And then at that meeting, we'll go ahead and establish a compliance date.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, that takes care of the regular agenda. Now I have miscellaneous business, Binney Enterprises, LLC.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Stan Holly, architect.
Mr. Sip, could you state your name again for the record, please, at the microphone?
Jesse Sordi.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from our city attorney first. What do we have here?
Mr. Couch, this appears on your as miscellaneous business and not as a lien review because it doesn't meet what would be our general criteria for something to be brought before you as a lien review. However, the respondent somehow obtained a lien review document and prepared the document for lien review and wanted to be heard before you. The reason it wouldn't meet our criteria is because the property is not in compliance. Our understanding is that there's a sale or pending sale, and because of that pending sale, there's some cross encumbrance going on with our lien on this current property that's affecting a sale or purchase of an additional property, which the respondent would have to explain. The position of the city is that the property where this lien is attached or where it arose is not in compliance, and but the city is willing to at least make a recommendation or consideration if the magistrate elects to consider any type of lien reduction or modification. The city would recommend a partial release that would release the specific property that they're seeking to transact, with some expectation that the whole reason that's being done is to work on remedies. I think part of what you'll hear from the respondent is that they sold a property that's the subject of the lien in the middle of our enforcement proceeding or prior to the fine, and that somehow is now interfering with their ability to bring that property into compliance. Our position is that that's something that should have been contractually remedied at the time when they made the sale. And where they are right now is that they have a property, an outstanding lien that's encumbering properties. And if they want that one remedied, we're recommending a $15,000 payoff for a partial release that would release the specific property that they're seeking relief on. Then the lien would remain against the property that was the subject of that remains in noncompliance, the remainder of the lien.
All right. Well, this is clear as mud. I've got a basis for request, so let me go through this, and you can backfill any gaps. I'm looking at the applicant's, I guess, summary. Lien has been placed for 509 East ISB for noncompliance of city codes. Initial letter from code enforcement on 28 March 2016 for case so-and-so was issued with all the violations listed. By June 16, almost all violations have been rectified except for repairs, works that require permits such as roof repair. Roof repair permit was applied for by roofing contractor on 23 March, approved on July, work completed November 2. Architect Stan Holly was hired and paid to start work towards the site plan for the restaurant. Project plans were submitted to redevelopment board December. In January, funds for this project were being delayed from source. In February, realtor approached us with a purchase offer for this property, accepted, getting difficult to raise funds to take this project to the next phase. Before selling the property, violation from code enforcement case so-and-so were addressed and rectified as of June 16. Site plans were submitted. Due to lack of funding, property was sold in February. Okay. So, the order imposing fine is an order dated April 14, 2017. We imposed a fine in the amount of $700 per day. Did that in April.
They had an initial compliance date in September, and then the status was continued to subsequent meetings thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Now, so when was the property brought into compliance?
It's not. We have not been in to inspect for compliance. The property remains in non-compliance. There's no affidavit of compliance.
Has anyone requested a fine in inspection of any sort?
I'd have to look to Mr. Fitzgerald. Come on in. He's come to the line.
Michael Fitzgerald, City of Daytona Beach Inspector with Code Enforcement.
I'm sorry.
My credentials are on file with the city. The last time I was out there to do inspections was 6/28/2017, and part of the violations were in compliance, except for the largest parts of the violations. They're still to this day not in compliance.
Roof repair permit was applied for by roofing contractor on 23 March 16, approved on July 28, and were completed November 2, 2016. So what I'm hearing from the city is this property was never in compliance.
The property is not in compliance at this time, nor was it in compliance while we were going on. This is what the property looks like. If we can go through it, he applied for a permit to do stucco work around the building. And it, you'll see the where the arrows are on the next. It's all new stucco. The permit was applied for, never approved, and the work was done anyway. The sign here was removed, and that was corrected. The part of the wall was knocked down without a demo permit. This permit is for the stucco work. If you can see on the arrow on the top, it's never been approved or picked up. This is the stairs. They pulled a permit for repairs of stairs. What they did in actuality was move the stairs to a completely new location for brand new stairs without any engineering whatsoever. This was the old set of stairs. That's the new set of stairs in a completely different location. This is what the plan shows what they were going to do. The stairs were located in the back, but the arrow shows where the new stairs were actually built. Again, this permit has never been finaled. This is what the building looks like now. Again, he did the work without a permit. The roof was done, and it was permitted, and the roof was finaled. So the only thing we're looking for are the permits for the stairs, relocation of the stairs, the permits for the stucco. Now, the problem is he no longer owns the property. So he can't, I have no idea how he's going to be able to repair that because he can't pull permits.
Okay. What say the respondent?
I have permit. Is it on before?
Show them to him.
Yeah, actually, I have the court. I have a roof permit. It's done. Everything is okay.
Yes,
and there is have two permits before and done for work. But if my mother is an expire, so I'm just go to in the country. I'm not close the permit. I have permit. Everything.
Okay, what are the documents he keeps waving around, and what's
and
the significance?
And the staircase is not changing the same place. It's just only repair for permit.
He's pulled.
I have everything is permit with permit.
He pulled permits for the doors.
Let
me see. Here's a permit card for
this is
the repairs to the stairs. Repair stairs. He didn't repair stairs. He built brand new ones and moved it.
Yep. 10-4. What else?
So it's never been final because he'd never be able to get a final on it.
Right.
On this permit, he replaced doors, and then he never finaled it.
Yeah.
So he pulled a permit. He just didn't continue on with it. He never had an inspected or finaled out.
And when was the property sold?
Is March in January then signing. I have there is a just a if you show you real estate the real estate
one. Sure.
I said that this property is my I'm not coming here. My mother is in the hospital before, so I just there is a have mentioned is the everything as deep I'm saying. So it's not my responsibility. I just asked me.
Well, it's not your responsibility after you sold it.
No. Is it just there? I just attorney and real estate. I give it to you as it is. You know, I don't have time. I know my mother is in hospital. I don't come. So I just explain everything. Is my property is this and it's this problem. So I am already applied for restaurant permit and drawing everything submitted there.
Can you come back to the?
There you go.
Go ahead.
So the roof is a non-issue. The roof's taken care of.
Yes, sir.
The stairs, open issue.
Yes, sir.
Stucco, open issue. Now he sold the property. And what is? And we imposed a fine for the property not being in compliance.
Yes, sir.
Property still not in compliance.
That's correct.
And he's looking for a lien relief.
That's correct.
And now he can't come into compliance because he doesn't own the property. Presumably.
Unless the new owner does.
Yeah, with its own power.
Not your concern.
Right. Exactly.
And as a practical matter, has the new owner done anything to bring the property into compliance?
No, he's coming up. He's been written up and being brought forth.
For other violations?
For the same violations plus more.
The new owner is applied for permit is already. But he has an issue because they can't issue the problem.
Right.
And
some issues and some clothes. It's a mess. It is. Yes, it is. And so if I do nothing here, what happens? And if I were to consider doing nothing, it's because the property is not in compliance. And typically, we don't consider a lien review request until the property is in compliance.
That's
but
right.
Now, because he's chosen to sell the property, he has made that an impossibility. So if I do nothing, what are the repercussions of our order? What's the problem? Other than the fact that he continues to accumulate a fine.
Yeah. Research, case law, any of those things would recognize that it's a little confusing to people. They don't recognize that code enforcement liens in the state of Florida are general liens. They apply to all property owned. So even though he no longer owns the property where the lien arose, it encumbers every other property he owns. His problem is that he has other property encumbered, and it will remain encumbered if we grant him no remedy.
Okay. What's the current amount of the lien?
It's maxed out.
Yeah, normally we have that on our form, but it's next. I kind of
I saw $700 a day in April.
Is it 25,000? Is the maximum 20?
As I said, that's a self-created form. It doesn't have it laid out the way we normally have it.
$20,000
is what it includes.
$24 according to us.
What was the date on that contract again?
Yeah, the sale contract.
Is the February?
This one?
February. February. Okay.
Is it there?
No, it's the competition closing date. It's March.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
February.
Contract date was February. The closing date was March. At least that was in the contract.
Okay, well, forgive me for being so obtuse, but why should I be giving you any relief at all? What about this is unfair, inequitable, or not something of your own doing? I'm anxious to hear.
You're saying that.
We gave you a ton of time to come into compliance. You didn't come into compliance. While we were sitting there wondering why you weren't in compliance, you were selling the property, asking for extensions all along.
When you give you notice, I'm already applied for the roof permit, and after that...
Don't bother me with the roof permit anymore. The roof's a non-issue. That's a good thing. You don't need to talk about that. Why'd you move the stairs? And why didn't you finish out the stucco permit? And then why did you sell the property before cleaning up that mess, before you passed it on to somebody who's now going to be brought in here at the next meeting, if I'm not mistaken?
No, I cleaned the property. Everything that I have been in there, I'm all outside is cleaning.
And whatever came of those pretty plans that Mr. Holly drew up for us, they were very impressive looking.
Prepared for stairs. I'm not removing or changing anything. Just only... If some piece is broken, so I'm some pieces repair and painting only. I'm not all stage changed. Only some pieces I'm changing and paint after that. I show the picture if you have to.
It's not necessary. All right, what is the city suggesting?
There's one or two, Mr. McAlger. One is to do nothing. And we're okay with that decision. If that's the decision made, in fact, we believe that, you know, he can work something out with a deal or a purchase or something other, some agreement with the current possessor of the land and go ahead and make sure that's taken care of. That's the things that should have happened prior to his sale, and that's something that would have been his responsibility. If there's any thought at all to some type of remedy,
concluding this matter instead of just creating loose ends to dangle around out there in the universe ad infinitum.
Right.
I'm opting for getting something done here today. What does the city want? And I'm not here to haggle with you or ask you to reduce anything. What does the city think is an equitable solution for me to consider as far as this person's dilemma? I'm not wild about branding him for the rest of his life and every property throughout. But there again, his problems are his own doing. So I'm just asking, what does the city think would be a reasonable solution?
His current problem, at least my understanding, unless it's broader than we know, is that he has a specific property that he's trying to transact that's being encumbered by this cross encumbered by this lien.
Mm-hmm.
What would be reasonable would be accepting some amount, which we
you said $15,000.
$15,000. Right.
All right.
To
fine.
To
hang
a
on
partial
a second.
Release.
The city's proposing I reduce the fine to the sum of $15,000.
I'm very upset now. I know I have my businesses here. I'm in my country. My wife is upset. So I'm just coming in this matter to sort out this problem. So this $15,000 is too much there. I'm very, very thankful for you. How can you get through?
Okay, well, let me put it to you this way. I can consider the $15,000 he's proposing right now, or I can do nothing. And if I do nothing, you're going to be dealing with this further on down the road. I don't, to be perfectly honest, this request is not even in a form that I hear at these matters because the property's not in compliance. The property's not in compliance because of you, and you can't rectify it because of you. That's the lay of the land. Now, the question here is the city has proposed coming down from $20,000 down to $15,000. I want to know what, if anything, you have to propose. And if you tell me it's zero, save your breath.
It's my mistake. I believe my problem.
It is your mistake. So what do you propose? City's proposing $15,000.
So... If you have any questions, just for me. If you let me know, please.
All right, I asked. Okay, I will treat this as a lien review for today's purposes. This is an exception, and I want that noted. And the only reason I'm dealing with it at all, is because I understand the repercussions of this lien and how it impacts the respondent elsewhere. I have no problem with that. That's the law of the land. But at the same time, I'm not here to punish somebody ad infinitum. I will agree to reduce the lien to the sum of $15,000 subject to being paid within 30 days. If it's not paid within 30 days, that ruling will be withdrawn, and the fine slash lien will continue on as if this proceeding had not occurred.
Now, is that for $15,000 for a full release?
That's $15,000 on this item.
Well, so, that's a clarification, because the cross encumbrance on the specific thing that's being cross encumbered, or on them in full? And will
okay. Okay, I asked the city what they wanted here.
Yeah, what
all I heard was $15,000.
Yeah.
What I didn't hear was any kind of restrictions on the scope of whatever release would come with that $15,000.
Yeah, I said partial, but we're okay if the thought is...
Well, I'm sorry, I guess I missed that.
Yeah, we're okay if the thought is in full. We're, as I discussed with the inspector, I believe we're okay with that, because we continue. Okay, as this... He's still crossing comfort with other property.
I have a lien on another property that's coming on Thursday. He came in compliance. He's coming to lien review. So I don't want it to be that one to be off.
Okay. I was just presuming it applied to this case.
No.
Right. So as to the lien, the property where this lien arose, yes, that's being covered in full. It's what you're announcing.
I'm referring to the order imposing fine lien in case number SMG071638. As far as that lien, if this man pays $15,000, that lien is satisfied.
Yes.
If he doesn't pay $15,000 within 30 days, that lien remains in full force and effect.
And continues to cross encumber. So once it's satisfied,
it does whatever it does. I don't know what they do.
I understand.
That's y'all's purview. Yes, sir.
Next week, I will report to the country. I have loans for the microfinance, and if you possible to please request, I pay today $11,000 if you have possible to please me.
Now we're horse trading. You want $11,000 cash today?
Sure.
Well, at least the lien inspector is telling me no, that's not the position of the city, which you announced.
Okay, then we'll stand by our ruling. Appreciate it, but it's $15,000. Good luck to you. And that's within 30 days. Again, let me emphasize, if 30 days come and go, the lien remains in full force and effect. I'm sure if you get in touch with that gentleman right there and you make a good faith effort to get that $15,000 to him, then the city will assist you to the extent that it can. Okay. Good luck to you. Anyway, and I promise you, Mr. Holly can speak to Mr. Jackson, and the two of them will figure it out. All right, do we have any other business to be brought before the special magistrate?
No, sir, nothing else that I'm aware of. Nope.
All right, well, let's hang on 1 second. Now, we had our very first lien review request prompted me to ask a question, and this is just out of curiosity. Where does our new city attorney stand on enforcing the liens that we impose? I understand he's starting to...
Very much in support of our foreclosure. It's been something that the commission is in support of. We filed foreclosures already on some liens. We'll file more as they're reviewed and determined that they're proper for foreclosure.
I mean, I'm just hopeful that it has an effect.
Yes.
On everything that we do here, because sometimes I feel kind of toothless up here.
Understand.
I think you could have a income from the commission also.
But we believe about 6 to 8 have been filed foreclosures. So we're on the move in that area where, as you know,
good
we
have
not done much before.
Good to hear. Because I think that is part of the process that needs to be utilized. And I had one other question. What was the second thing we dealt with?
Master plan.
Oh, no, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to leave that one alone. Okay. I'm kind of curious.
We're still on the record?
Oh, no. We're off the record.
Okay, so we're adjourned.
Yeah, we're